Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Hello, Leroy.
What's up?
How's your grandma?
Well, hey, you know what's crazy? Man, I need somebody to start winning because holy smokes. Like, now they're talking about why Shedeur Sanders isn't playing. I'm like, because Dylan Gabriel's better at this point. They go, well, don't you figure they should give him a – No, the coach trying to win. The coach, his job is on the line. He ain't just going to throw somebody in there willy-nilly.
It's still, is Stefanski still on the line? Like, do they kind of know, like, Stefanski, sorry about saddling you with that whole Deshaun Watson thing.
They don't, it doesn't matter in the end. It doesn't matter in the end because, like, no matter how bad your situation is, hell, I give you a perfect example. Look up in New England last year. Mayo.
Oh, yeah.
One of the problems with, you know, saying we hired a minority, right, is that situation right there. Who was going to survive that? Were you ever going to give patience to in that spot, white or black?
The thing that was weird with Mayo is that, like, he was the coach in waiting, supposedly, for, like, years. That's the thing that was strange about that.
Right. And then he got 12 minutes.
Pretty wild. Let's get to some headlines, which are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or DoralHyundai.com. Panthers win last night. 3-2 over the Chicago Blackhawks. Let's listen back to some of the calls here from last night as the Panthers got down 1-0 early. But then A.J. Greer decided, enough of that bleep. We're going to tie it up 1-1.
The Panthers back the other way. Up the near side, Cunning. Now in front of Chance, and they score! This game is tied. It's A.J. Greer right there on the doorstep, able to jam it past Spencer Knight. The Panthers able to tie the game at 1 with 8:54 to go here in the first.
He might as well just punched it in with his fist. That's how A.J. Greer goes about it.
Very aggressive. Very aggressive.
Very aggressive. Very aggressive. You know, he got into a little fight ski there, but not before that. Carter, on the power play.
Now in go the Panthers. Rodriguez, it was poked away and then out of the right circle. A chance for Sam Iskevich was stopped, but now it's picked up and they score and the Panthers take the lead. It's Carter Verhaeghe right out in front and the Panthers take a 2-1 lead, a power play goal for Carter Verhaeghe.
Swaggy. That guy's good. He was all over the place, too. He was flying around yesterday, Carter Verhaeghe.
That's the thing, man. They have so many, like, skilled, like Marchand is like an ant out there. He's all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. He's loving life right now. He really is. It's something. And it feels like with Tkachuk out, he's going to be kind of the national voice everybody goes to for the Panthers. He's doing the pregame interviews, all that type of stuff. But I will say, you know, it's interesting. We had Kevin Weeks on yesterday, Weeksy, you know, and he was saying, remember, I mean, like it kind of was, he kind of just kind of threw in, but he goes, listen, dude, Tkachuk and Barkov are going to be back. He's just throwing it out there. And then he said it on the broadcast.
Like nonchalantly, too.
Yeah, and he said it on the broadcast yesterday. He goes, Barkov's going to be back. And I'm just like, he is? Like, I probably should have asked him, like, you promise?
Again, without necessarily knowing, what the injury was and just saying he had knee surgery, it's kind of like there's a lot of things that, you know what I mean? So I don't ever know what the recovery time is based on what the injury is. There's different levels to it.
Well, they've said
that all the time.
Yeah, and they've said the recovery is going to be 7 to 9 months, but Barkov's sitting here and goes, nuh-uh. That's kind of his response to it. Like, he's going to go, he's like, oh, that's what you tell me? I'm going to recover faster. Like, basically, Barkov has just put up he's just basically challenged science to a fight. Science, that's what it sounds like.
Science always wins, dude.
I don't know. Does it? Against the captain? I don't know.
Like, it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter who it is. Like, again, you can have torn ligaments that go anywhere from 6 months to a year, depending on all the other stuff that's going on in there. Without knowing that, to come up with a legitimate time frame when you don't have access to what was actually wrong, all you know is knee surgery, is a little bit ridiculous.
I don't even think he's off crutches yet. And he's just telling people, I'm going to be back. I mean, had Eric Spoelstra saying it, Weeksy. Those guys wouldn't lie to us.
Now, can I ask you another question?
Yep.
If you're the Panthers and you have that investment in him and he's coming back and you think he may be able to come back at the end of the year, mm-hmm. do you even risk it?
It's hard because it's history, right? Like, how could you deny if he wants to be back?
It has nothing to do with history. It has to do with your body.
I get you, but he is under a guaranteed contract. So, like, if he wanted to come back, are you saying from saving him from himself? Because I feel like Correct. This is a Barkov thing.
Correct.
I think Barkov and just hockey, he's going to be like, I want to play. Like, they did the same thing happened with Kachuk. Like, you could have said that with last year.
Yeah, and...
But do you think Kachuk would have turned it down?
No. No, I know, but that's you. Like, I'm just. That's why I said the Panthers. I didn't say Barkov.
Yeah, you can't.
I don't expect a player to ever say he's not gonna play.
Let's hear the last goal. This one also assisted by our boy Mackie Samuskevich, as the yes man. He batted it in off the air.
Forsling there ahead of Azar. Forsling straight on for Rodriguez. Rodriguez across center, sent down to the corner, bouncing puck, Samuskevich up front, they score, and it's Jesper Boqvist charging the net, and the Panthers take a 3-2 lead here in the third.
Oh, what a time to be alive. Doug Plagan's on the call there as the Panthers get their first win of the season. The Heat, they're going to be in preseason action tonight, taking on the San Antonio Spurs. Victor Wembanyama, we'll see what happens with the Heat guards. But the Heat so far have been going with a starting lineup of Powell, Wiggins, Bam, Nico, and Jaime Jaquez Jr.
Four preseason games?
I think there's five. I think they have this. No, I think there's six, actually. I think the six is the most allowable. They had the Puerto Rico game that got added in there. I think they have a few days off after this one. They don't play again until Sunday. Then they play Atlanta, and then I think Memphis, and then that's it.
Somebody pointed out earlier, I mean, Atlanta, everybody's 6'8 except for
Trey. Yeah, no, they're full of pterodactyls. And Porzingis is now there.
Really? I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's there. We'll see if he's healthy. You know him.
He's another guy. Didn't he have bubble guts for a whole year?
He doesn't know what was wrong with him. He doesn't know what was wrong. He doesn't have really an answer on that. It's this mysterious Porzingis injury. I'm not sure, but he did play in Eurobasket.
Okay.
You know, maybe in the future he'll be catching lobs from Jakachonis for Latvia. Who knows?
Who knows?
But I have a subscription, so I'll let you guys know. I'll keep you posted.
You ain't paying $30 a month for that.
No, I paid $30 for the year.
Oh, for the year. Okay.
$30 for the year. $30 a month. Oof.
Have you watched another basketball game?
That was not Eurobasket?
Yeah. No, I'm saying since the Euro tournament.
No, but I get the notifications.
You're on notice for you.
I just haven't taken them off. And I'm just like, because it's not one of those apps that bothers you. It only tells you when a game is coming on. So I'm like, oh.
Tobin's going to become a scout for European
Wait,
players.
You have absolutely zero idea.
Mm-hmm.
Can we put the number on half of games you will watch of Eurobasketball before that?
So you're saying how many Eurobasket games will I watch?
Correct.
Before my subscription is up next August?
Yes.
I don't know. Hard to say.
No, it's not.
Maybe there's somebody out. Maybe I want to watch a little Slim Jesus. Some
hey, in the words Zero. Of, it's okay. They know. We know.
No, we don't know. I don't know.
You're going to have to renew it next year.
Hmm.
So can you do the math? Can you actually do the math of how many games you've watched? You watched.
I watched a lot of games this year.
Do you think you got your money's
average,
worth?
I would say he averaged $3, $3 to $4 a game.
I
find that crazy for Eurobasket.
I watched every Swedish game. I watched every Serbian game. Watched a couple of Slovenia. I watched some Greece. And I probably threw on Italy there once or twice. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't as into Simone Fontecchio, but I had never seen him play before. So I was like, yeah, you know, I'll dabble in Fontecchio. I'll tell you what's weird about Fontecchio. Everybody pointed this out in the locker room when we went in there. It was really weird because Fontecchio traded for Duncan Robinson. Okay. He's in Duncan Robinson's locker. And strangely, when he wears a dad hat, he kind of looks like Duncan Robinson. And so, like, I walked in there and I'm like,
if I would have said something like that, you'd have been like, what are you trying to say?
No, I'm telling you, dude. I'm telling you.
Hey,
I'm telling you, dude.
What do you mean, you people?
He had on the dad hat low. No. I'm telling you, dude. If you looked at them, that sounds right. I get you. But I'm just telling you, if you looked at them face to face, you'd be like, they don't look like each other. But it was something about the hood, because Duncan always wore hoodies and dad hats. So, like, he had the hoodie, the dad hat low, and I was like, you kind of walk in. So the way you go into the Heat locker room, Duncan's locker is right to the it's on the immediate left, and so you're like, Simone Fontecchio. You're like, is that Duncan Robinson? No, Simone. I haven't asked him yet if he likes the nickname the Gondola.
Dude, why do I think when you go to the Heat facility,
minus one
adult supervision?
I'm very grown up, dude. I'm so
no,
professional.
You're not.
So yeah, you know what? I will say I get his interviews, like his recorder interviews, and he sounds very serious, very stoic.
Oh,
very
no,
serious.
That's you're not familiar with
that's Tobin. That's me being a professional, Brittany.
Wait,
they want me to go in there and make whale noises.
Brittany, we've been arguing about this for years. Like, oh, show pony, all of a sudden you hear him asking the question, hey, man, do you feel someone? Like, who is that guy?
Professional. I'm a buttoned up professional.
I will say I had to hear the question back to be like, is that Tobin?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. All low.
I'm not like, here to.
So timid.
Look, when you're a journalist, it's not about you. You're not the show. And so I'm not here to be the show. I'm trying to go under the radar. We'll see if we can get some funsies. You know, we can make people laugh with Nico calling out Jaime Jaquez Jr. But, you know, as a professional, I need to remain buttoned up.
Nope. Nice try.
We'll take a break, get into some Dolphins on the other side. Back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Ah, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy, it's that time, ladies and gentlemen, for a little 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored, brought to you by the Lexus TX. Room for all your passions in three rows of luxurious comfort. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer as the Dolphins get ready for the LA Chargers. Report out, Leroy, yesterday. From what's this dude's name again? Tony Pauline, NFL insider. And he said, he wrote that after the week one disaster, when the Dolphins lost to the Colts, I reported that league stores were telling me that owner Stephen Ross would pull the trigger and fire Mike McDaniel if they were not competitive over the next 6 to 7 games. Since that article, the Dolphins have lost 3 of 4, just winning over the lowly Jets. Tensions are starting to boil over after the loss to the Panthers. McDaniel admitted during a press conference on Monday that Stephen Ross is, quote, really frustrated. So when could he be sent packing? The same sources who told me that McDaniel was on very thin ice after their week one loss predict that Ross will wait 2 or 3 more games before deciding on whether to pull the trigger on the head coach. He also writes, many wonder if general manager Chris Greer will also be cut loose. Sources tell me that they do not think that it's definite that both head coach and general manager will be fired at the same time.
Oh, so you're going to let the general manager pick another coach?
I'm telling you 100% that's what's going to happen.
Wow.
That's going to happen.
That guy, I need to know what he's got.
Hey, I think a lot of people are wondering that. I think there's a lot of people wondering what does this guy, what does he do or what has he got that is involved in this? There's also, I saw this on Dolphins Talk Twitter. They put a clip up from the Rich Eisen show and Jeremy Fowler, one of the ESPN insiders there, he referred to Mike McDaniel's seat as moderately hot. Moderately hot.
I mean, listen. I don't care what the level of heatness is.
Mm-hmm.
We all know it's a hot seat because they lose it. Simple as that.
He also says that Stephen Ross's kids are involved in the process. And that
they all went to high school with Mike McDaniel.
I don't even know how. I know Stephen Ross's daughter like took control because remember it was gonna go over to Bruce Beal, and then old Brucey got caught tampering, idiot. And so then it was like, I don't think Stephen Ross's kids were going to take over the team. And then that changed. So I don't know which kids are involved or what, you know, that's a little bit of a mystery, but you know, we'll see. The thing that's interesting about games and at home is that like, there's nowhere to
escalate things.
Yeah, there's nowhere to run from it. Like, you can't, you know, I know that a lot of the guys are saying, oh, I don't see the fan reaction. That's cool. I'm not here to call anybody liars that they don't see stuff, even though I'm sure plenty of them do. But you can't hide from empty seats. You can't hide from booing. You can't hide from banners. Like, that's right in the owner's face. And right. So that can always change things. And I understand people who are like, and I don't even disagree with the thought of like, hey, what's the point of firing Mike McDaniel? Especially if you don't have a good replacement, which I don't know that this team does. But I do think there's got to be some element. Like, you do have to have people re-sign for season tickets and all that type of stuff. There is an element of showing your fan base, hey, we're not going to stand for whatever this is, and having a fall guy. So I don't know. I mean,
it's a big problem because of this. Some of the things that are going on do have a lot to do with the way Mike McDaniel is doing things, and some of it doesn't. Some of it is unfortunate. Some of it is just the hand you've been dealt and you trying to deal with it. And so when you have this reaction from the fans, they're not being, you know, they don't do that. Like they want a body. They're not going to peel back the layers of the different reasons as to why the team is the way it is. Mm-hmm. Like maybe an owner would, or a GM would, or a coach would, right?
Right.
They want somebody to pay. My only question would be to this. The way the NFL is going now, the retreads are no good.
No.
So you're going to bring in another new coach.
Yep.
And for everybody to think that that's going to be better, he's going to have a lot of the same challenges that Mike McDaniel had.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you could have people, though, like look at the, you know, Jacksonville situation, and they'd be like, well, you know, Liam Coate, Mr. I mean, that guy turned around vibes for their team, and they had an established coach. They had Doug Peterson.
Right.
So
okay.
You never know. It doesn't just because you don't know that the solution will be better doesn't mean that it can't be better.
Correct. But just because you've seen somebody else's situation be better doesn't mean that your situation is going to be better.
Yep.
And that's the problem. When you
see
other people that are having success, right? Mm-hmm. Think about this. What's one of Jacksonville's strengths?
Defense.
Defensive line up front, right? What have been to this point one of the Miami Dolphins' weaknesses? Defensive line.
Yep.
Right. So changing the culture does what about that? That's my point is that, yeah, you can bring – there has to be infrastructure there for a guy to coach. There has to be something there for a guy to develop. And the growing pains of this organization right at this moment, regardless of how much it sucks, is based on that. And,
right.
And it doesn't matter who the coach is. These players are still going to go through that, and they're not going to be good until they get through it.
Well, the tough thing about it is if you have the same guy picking the players, right? Like, that's the thing.
That's a whole other right.
Because, like, I could always, you could, again, you can't say that somebody new wouldn't have better answers or new ways or be more committed. But if he's hamstrung with having Chris Greer as his GM and he goes, you know, let's make it the Jags coach. Let's make it a Campanelli and say, hey, Campanelli, you know, we love the hard knock speech, dude. We need that intensity. You're our new head coach. Cool. Hey, by the way, I'm thinking of drafting this guard. Now, hear me out. He's missed the last two seasons with ACL injuries, but if he's healthy, like that's right. It. Like if you have that guy still selecting players, I just don't know. I don't know if there's any cycle, if there's any way to get out of Robbie's aforementioned cycle of doom.
This team has had more players come in on crutches for their opening press conference than I've ever seen. Limping, shoulder straps. Yeah, that's another thing. But again, there's a perfect way to figure this out. If you're the owner, are we this way because of the players? Or do we have the players and it's the coaching or the scheme? That's it. Like, you got to be honest with it. You mm-hmm. got to be honest with yourself with it. And then make a decision accordingly. And go from there. Because you should be able to go to every organization and make that determination. Right? You should be able to. And a lot of teams don't. A lot of teams make up imaginary reasons as to why the team is the way it is. Sometimes it's in-house fighting. The GM will go to the owner before the coach can. Right? There's a lot of that because they're human too. But I'm going to tell you, I've never seen a team sign more injured players or guys coming back on the rebound than this team has in the last couple years.
Caps is Joe Rose for GM. I think Joe wants to leave Joe alone. Let Joe nap, dude.
Joe wants to play pickleball, take naps, and get up very, very early and drink up all my coffee.
Yep. And he just wants to hose down whoever the next GM. I will say, though, I listened to that press conference, the post-game one, and Kim Bocamper had like four questions in a row because who's going to tell Kim Bocamper to shut up? Nobody. And I could tell, like, he sounded like he wanted to stuff McDaniel in a locker. Like he was just like, I could like, it was, you ever hear somebody like reasonably angry, you know, like you're just like, you could tell like if he wanted, like he's probably seething inside, but he's got to keep his cool because professional reporter, but like you could tell inside, he's probably just like, he's in his mind. I feel like he's got Looney Tunes of him just grabbing McDaniel by the scruff and punching him in the face.
Like in that little imaginary square you see in the cartoons.
Imaginary square.
Yeah, like where that's where all little cartoon people dream in that little bubble.
Oh, man. It's so sad right now. All right, we'll take a break. Get to our favorite Wednesday game. Rats off the ship. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Rats off a ship. Game six.
Rats off a ship.
Welcome back, everybody. It is time for us to put on our snorkels and flippers.
Ooh. Jennifer got on alpaca. You got to block that.
Looks like it's like bleached. Is it like bleach?
It's a band shirt, but it's bleached. Yeah.
Right. Very grunge.
Sorry.
Not knowing how to do your laundry is grunge.
Okay. I got it like this. Let's relax there. I know how to do my laundry.
No, I understand. But that's like, that's their symbol. Just to know they're hardcore. It'd be like, you know, what's rock and roll, guys? Not knowing how to mix detergent and bleach.
I've actually bought a shirt at one of a concert I went to last year, and the girl ripped it right in front of me. Made it more grunge.
It's an art. It's an art.
And they also like spray painted it. So,
oh, so they made it there.
Yeah, it was really cool.
What do we got today, Jennifer, for Rats Off a Ship?
Well, first things first, we're going to start off with an apology from Jonathan Gannon.
Arizona Cardinals head coach in some hot water. Let's hear what he had to say.
This morning, and didn't feel great about it, honestly. And so in the team meeting, I addressed it. I apologized to Omari, apologized to the team. And I just told him I kind of let the moment of what happened get the better of me there. Obviously, like I try to be emotionally stable and calm because my job is to solve problems when during a game and kind of lead the charge on that. So it's not really who I am, who I want to be, and I told the guys that today. So it's a mistake by me, and it's just like everybody in there. Everybody made some type of mistake yesterday, which is, you know, culminates to why we didn't win the game, and we can't let it happen moving forward.
And there you go. Cardinals head coach was fined $100,000 by the Cardinals for his exchange with Amari DiMarcado. After, of course, the blunder of the fumbling in the end zone.
It's a weird dynamic there. Like, everybody's trying to look good, right? The Cardinals finding their coach for doing that. Here's where you know whether it crosses the line or not.
Mm-hmm.
None of the players came over there, right? They were all standing right there.
Mm-hmm.
Football is a different animal in that there's a lot of yelling, a lot of cussing, a lot of, you know, getting guys where they need to be in a very forceful way. I don't think that him hitting him in the chest like that was hitting, more like,
let's go.
Right. Exactly. Come on. And I don't think the coach was trying to demean him more than letting him know the ramifications of his carelessness, right? There's certain things that you do in life that require, like even with your kids, like, no, don't do that. And hey, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of like that. Other people see it differently. And I think the Cardinals find him to look good. I'm not rats off a ship as far as what he did. And I'm not rats off a ship with his apology, because I could see him really feeling bad. He seemed like he genuinely probably let his emotions get the best of him, even though that's what all coaches do. You ever see some of the coaches yell on the sidelines? Come on.
For sure.
Right. So, yeah.
I'm rats off a ship on the apology.
Really? Why?
Rats off a ship.
I don't think he means it. I think he liked what he did. I think that he knows that the guy blew the game. And I think you're right. I think it's football. And I think that we're very heavens to Betsy on these things.
First of all, that's in-house stuff, right? Mm-hmm. The words that were spoken between him and he didn't make a big spectacle out of it, even though they were closing in on it. I think it's easy for other people to jump inside of that situation and say, oh, you never talk to another grown man like that. Well, you'd be surprised.
Sometimes when things are chaotic, you do.
You'd be surprised at some of the things that are yelled at. Hell, how about the two coaches getting in a fist fight years ago? Because one threw a pass at the end of a game, right? Yeah. Was it Buddy Ryan and Kilbride? Is it what was his name? Yeah, the offensive coordinator. Football is like it. I try to explain it. That you can't look at that sport in certain sports like you would talking to another man on the street. And it's amazing that fans take that approach, because they yell crap in the stands that they would never yell to somebody in the street, because they get their butt whooped.
Yep.
So I love the way people are stepping up and saying, that was too much. How dare you? I want everybody to listen to what they're yelling in the stands. When is that ever too much?
Where are your rats, Jennifer?
Rats off a ship.
Rats off a ship.
I'm speaking for the chat here. What about you? We're very angry.
Brittany?
I am rats off a ship. I think that's a $100,000 fine apology is what that is.
Make it good, John.
But I also think that I'm rats off a ship on the Cardinals finding him publicly. I think that's, like Leroy said, that's an in-house issue. I think that's, like, the Cardinals are notorious for being a pretty lousy organization. And I just find that really bad if you don't just handle that in-house. So I find that weird. I thought that it was extremely inappropriate what happened. I was very taken aback that he hit him. I don't think that should happen. But again, I've never played contact sport. I've never played, a sport to that level. So I don't know. I'm not, who am I to speak on it? But I just think the whole thing is like, it's just not a good look in general by anybody in the situation.
It's not a good look, but to who, right? Because the parties involved, the teammates, the coaches, usually when something like we've seen on the sidelines where things get out of hand, of a coach and a player, two players going at it, the players jump in right away.
Mm-hmm.
All the players were just standing there, which means that he didn't go.
Oh, just blew the game. They probably were pissed too.
No, I get it. I understand. And that's why I'm saying, like, I don't know the circuit. Like, I personally was, like, very taken aback by it. I was like, oh my, I've never seen, like, I've seen players and coaches yell at each other, but I've never seen it get, like, physical in that sense.
Back in the day, they used to shake that face mask and shake it off.
No, I mean, I know I've seen things, but I don't know. I've never seen it. Like, I guess in recent years, you haven't seen anything like that.
In the realm of in the realm of physicality, tapping that shoulder pad the way he was is not that big of a deal.
What's number two, Jennifer?
Minka Fitzpatrick has some advice for Kenneth Grant.
Hear what the safety had to say.
In regards to motivation, that's something that KG has to do himself. You're a professional football player. If you need any external motivation, which I'm not saying he does, I'm just saying in regards to what you're presenting, if you need any type of external motivation, then you're in a bad spot. You know what I'm saying? If anybody has to push you in order to reveal to you that you need to be better, when it's, you know, clear that you aren't doing well, then you're in a bad spot. Which, you know, if that's where they are, you know, they're young guys, and we have to help them be pros. But at the end of the day, I see KG work. You know, I see all these other rookies work, and I know that they're trying to sharpen their tools and get better. You know, there's a period for grace, but then there's also a period for sharpening. You know what I'm saying? And even though they're young, you know, they're out there on the field, and they had to do their job. And I know as leaders, we're gonna push them to do their job. And as young guys, they're gonna you know, turn the corner.
All right, there you go, Minka Fitzpatrick, yesterday on Kenneth Grant.
That's about accurate.
It's accurate.
Well, the question was probably posed to him: what do you say as far as motivating him to? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how the question came out. So that's why the comments were there. He's right. He's right. You should hate sucking. You've been a competitor your whole life, right?
That's the thing why I'm rats off a ship. When Minka Fitzpatrick was sucking as a rookie, he hightailed it out of here and he took it to Twitter. So I got to tell you, dude, maybe take Kenneth Grant to Chipotle and give him a little motivation, okay? Something, just a little bit of get a burrito bowl over it, you know, talking and be like, hey, baby.
That doesn't work like that, dude.
I was there too. Hey, Chipotle and a burrito bowl in this situation can fix a lot.
So you think that there's another player in that locker room that can motivate KG, right?
He is the most accomplished defender in that locker room right now.
But he answered the question appropriately.
He answered it appropriately.
Like, you should be doing the work to get better.
You should
and realize you suck. If you're not,
hold on. He should be. But did Minka Fitzpatrick even at a young age? He would even say he's matured. Did he not handle things not always the best? So maybe even if you are a professional, not everybody is. And so maybe
he was never considered the worst at his position.
Well, that's true. I mean,
this coming from a different place, right? As much as Minka complained,
maybe they just go. I'm not saying, look, just take him out for a pumpkin spice latte, you know, just something to talk it over and a little comfort for Kenny G.
You have very basic ways of fixing things, and I think both of them are going to send you straight to the bathroom for bubble guts.
Pumpkin spice latte?
I don't know. I've never had them, but it's a latte.
You drink pumpkin spice latte?
I don't think that those are the two things that they should be doing. Yeah,
it's very calming. I was looking for a calming.
Me personally, watching him in the last couple of weeks, they need to go to Salad Kingdom.
Is that a place?
Is that a real place?
Could be something. Could be nothing.
Where are your rats, Jennifer?
I'm not rats off a ship. And I do not have any weird advice to give him. Don't go to Chipotle. Don't do that.
Brittany?
I'm rats off a ship with you, Tobin.
Rats off a ship.
Why?
I saw the comments last night on Twitter, and I went, oof. I just don't think, I think Tobin's right. I don't think that out of everyone in that locker room, Minka Fitzpatrick is the one to talk about that. I just don't think that he is, and I feel like it just shows me that that defense is not a unit, which is very obvious on the field. And if you can't, as a veteran and as somebody who's established, look to a rookie and, you know, try and help them or feel like a need to, like, not a feel a need, but feel like not even an obligation, but just feel inclined to help motivate a rookie like that who's struggling, I find that very odd. And I think that means, like, it just proves to me further that Minka's rats off a ship.
Minka doesn't feel like he wanted to be on this ship. He'd rather be on the Pittsburgh ship.
The one good thing that happened to me was I failed forward. Right?
Yeah.
Every time I switched, my team got better. I mean, think about this. I went from the Baltimore Ravens, who were terrible, like 4-12, Carolina, who ended up in the NFC Championship game, then Minnesota, who that same year ended up in the playoffs.
Stunned Steve says that Hollywood Brown had Minka Fitzpatrick looking like the worst player in the league. That was a bad game, dude. Remember that Ravens game? That was not fun for Minka.
We got to be careful. Like, let's be careful with demanding that one grown-ass man go to another grown-ass man and tell him what he need to be doing. The same stuff that you're going to say, but that's your teammate or whatever, say, okay, in the previous one, that's your coach.
Did anybody get, I'm sure you weren't like in need of motivation. Nobody gave you guidance? Like, even if you were struggling a little bit?
No, because we sucked. We were 3-13 and
well, that seems to be the like, win right now.
There was like 30 guys that were turned over. Now, I will say this. The two guys that were in my room helped me out the most with Eric Metcalf, Kevin Mack, and then I forgot his name. Who left the fumble, Ernest Binder.
Mm.
Isn't that something you remember a guy by that?
Sorry.
Yeah, I know. And Ernest Biner. So
they still put him in the Browns' Twitter accounts, though. They love him.
Yep. Well, guess what? When the Cavaliers won the championship, they invited him.
That's adorable.
Yep.
Give us one more, Jennifer, for Rats Off a Ship.
Well, how do we feel about LeBron? What?
Do you say... Well.
Well. Because this kind of had me rolling my eyes a little bit the other day. Mm. LeBron James on redoing the decision for a Hennessy commercial.
I'm not rats off a ship on this, to be honest with you. Like, I knew immediately when LeBron said 24 hours, the next decision. I knew immediately it was a commercial. I don't understand why people are mad at LeBron James for making oodles of money from Hennessy. Like, it's a very
thought that he was going to retire.
Well, those people, respectfully, what? If you thought he was going
to
retire,
there's many people who thought he was going to retire. I just thought he was being a little show pony, to be honest. Sorry.
Well, yeah. If you really thought he was going to retire, I got to be honest with you. You're high as a kite, Yogi. I don't know what to tell you. He ain't retiring. He's making $50-something million this year. Like, why would he retire? And you know what LeBron James did? He decided, be a little marketing genius. Come out with something, and I'm going to let everybody know that I did it.
Well, everyone's on pins and needles across the country. You ready to go, LeBron? Where's the powder?
Left it at home.
LeBron, fans want to know where you're taking your talents this year. What's your decision?
In this fall, man, this is tough. In this fall, I'm going to be taking my talents to Hennessy VSOP.
VSOP? And this was the conclusion you woke up with this morning?
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
Why?
I feel like it's going to give me the best opportunity to win more at hosting. And not only that, win at signature cocktails.
Wow.
So, here's it. Yeah, can I just say this? You idiots. And that's right. I said idiots. You had to know that something was a little fugazi with the guy asking the question.
Yeah,
you know he ain't going with just Joe Rando.
Yeah, if it was a real decision, Jim Gray would have been there.
Jim Gray, right?
How does Jim Gray always find his way into all these things?
Jim Gray has been... But so, like, you, when I saw that guy, I'm like, who's that? Oh, no, he ain't announcing nothing.
Yeah, I don't understand why people are mad at that. I'm not rats off a ship.
I'm not rats off a ship. Do you? Like, just imagine the world is so consumed with you. That means you're doing something right. There's two people that really haven't done nothing wrong to nobody, but we sit here and complain about them regardless. Taylor Swift, LeBron James. They ain't did nothing to you. Wow. Nothing.
It's a sensitive topic for Tobin.
No, he not. Please.
Look at him. He's what? Ready to say something.
No. I'm not going to say it. We don't have time. We got to get to where are your guys' rats?
I'm not rats off a ship. That's fine.
Like, I'm rats off a ship. That's so annoying. Like, don't be annoying. Don't annoy me.
I'm also rats off a ship.
Wait, so you fell for it? You thought it was a new announcement?
No, it's not that I fell. It's not that I fell for it. I saw it and I went. I rolled my eyes. I was already
that annoyed. Was my
like,
reaction
because it's like it's so. Oh my gosh! Like, why he's just a show pony? Like you said, he's such a show pony.
Yeah. Idea.
But it's annoying.
Show pony.
It's annoying.
Why?
I didn't even finish the video. I just said, oh, okay, next.
So I was like, now we're all going to go up in arms. All these people are buying tickets to the Lakers games and they're freaking out and oh my God. And it's like, you knew it.
That was crazy. It's yeah, smart. People, like the tickets spiked for his last game.
Yes.
Like, are you kidding me? Like,
yes, people were literally flying in to go to preseason games to be like, I have to see LeBron.
Can I just say this? It quickly. Is not LeBron's fault. It's not Hennessy's fault. It's not whoever that dude was asking him the question across from him, which nobody knows, right? That you have been duped. It is not anybody's fault. That dude was just making a commercial. Hennessy was just trying to put a fancy twist on it. That dude was just whatever he was doing. I don't know who he is. Did anybody know who that dude is?
I don't
is?
Know who that guy is. No,
that in itself, once you see him and you don't see Stephen A or Jim Gray
definitely
or somebody important, he ain't making that announcement to Boo Boo the Fool.
One more thing. He made a mockery of the actual decision, and I also don't appreciate that.
I don't think he did make a mockery of it. He's just making money
for Hennessy,
off of it,
Tobin,
which everybody else
for Hennessy,
did.
You think he's the one that wrote up the commercial?
I mean, he just copied his words. They changed South Beach to Hennessy. Take a break. Back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.